Welcome to Exit 425. It's where we live. My name is Steve Ray. Granville Anderson is my guest. After being a trustee and chair for the PVNCC school board, Granville was elected in 2014 as the Liberal MPP for Durham and has been since 2018 a regional councillor in Clarington, currently for Exit 425. Granville's background is in mediation and owns a business that focuses on that area. Granville, thank you for being here to speak with me, us, about Clarington in 23 and 24, and specifically Exit 425. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Steve, I'm honored to be here, and especially with Metroland no longer publishing a weekly paper, I thank you so much for the work you do to disseminate some of the information to the public and to give the public a chance to hear something factual other than what appears on social media sometimes. So I am so honored and thank you. Thank you for doing this for our community.
It's my pleasure, and I do see it as a bit of a mission so that residents can see who our representatives are and see the humanity in them, and then as you say, based on factual information coming from our representatives, they can judge them accordingly. But at least they have the right information. What is your relationship like with an MPP for Durham from a party in government that you do not see eye to eye with or even eye to shoulder with?
We have a very good working relationship, but policy-wise, you agree. We disagree. We disagree in many areas. If you look at society, the homelessness, the food bank, people attending food banks, that has quadrupled over the last few years. I believe it goes back to policies. And I'm not blaming one set of government. This goes back. This predates maybe even this government. We should be able to do more to have we're a fluent country. We're a fluent province. We shouldn't have the amount of homelessness that exists and the amount of people who rely on our food banks just for their mere existence. That's unconscionable. We have overcrowded classrooms, lots of schools being built. We have our hospital system is atrocious. And by the way, shovel should be in the ground for the Bowmanville Hospital in 2025. Finally, that's going to happen. So those are things. The delay in the GO train station, which should have been opened by now, and I understand that maybe we are lucky if we see some tracks by 2030. So those are the disagreements in policies that we have. Other than that, we have a good working relationship. We are cordial, very pleasant to each other.
And that's something that a lot of people don't understand, is that people can sit in a room and discuss business, but not agree on policy. But you do work together,
yes.
And you know, some things do get done as a result of that. So,
and how I look at it, I don't care who gets it done as long as it gets done to benefit our community, and that has always been my focal point. And I will always continue to do that. So I don't have to take credit for anything. It's just that it's as long as it's for the betterment of our community, that's fine with me. That's how I operate.
What are some exciting or maybe concerning developments at the regional level?
At the regional level, I don't know if you know about 1635. Dundas, where homeless shelter is in place, and there have been some public disagreement about that. But it's another, that goes back to say the homelessness rate. We had to do something, so the region purchased that. Residents are upset that it's in their community. They don't want it in their community because of past history of homeless shelters, especially low barriers. But it's there. It's voted on by the local Whitby Council. It's voted on and approved by regional council. So I'd say to residents, let's make it work. Let's work together with the region and the community and set an example. Here's an opportunity to make this an example of a shelter that really works. So let's do that. Let's focus on the positive rather than the negative of what happened at previous shelters. Let's make this the best shelter it can be. Let this be a model for other regions and other parts of even the country to follow. So there's an opportunity to do that. So I wish folks would look at it that way rather than negatively.
Any things of concern, in your opinion, at the regional level?
Another thing is, I know the police, they want a new headquarters. I don't know if you're aware of that. So they want a new headquarters in Ajax. So they're in the process of trying to secure that property. And, you know, there may be a need for it. I don't know if it's an immediate need, given the state of our economy and the state of folks trying to put food on the table, if that should take priority. But then public safety also is paramount. So the powers that be, they said there is a need to have an additional station, a headquarters, a real headquarters to work out of. And I understand we are the only regional government that doesn't really have a police headquarters. So they're working on that. And that will also assist to keep our community safe. As you know, there's not a police station in Ajax, and it's a growing community. So that's something that we're doing. And we're at the same time, we're trying to keep taxes low. We did approve the hiring of 80 new officers as well. And it's because of the growth. So, you know, tax, I know folks talk about taxes being high, but if you want a safe, strong, vibrant community, there is a cost. So I believe my role is to make sure every tax dollars is well spent. There's no wastage. There's no misuse of taxpayers' fund. But as if it goes towards the betterment of the community, then I will support that as much as I can.
So
while being cognizant that, yes, folks are struggling and we should try and keep taxes as low as we possibly can, but not to the detriment of serving our residents to the best of our ability to improve their lives.
Recently, there was some discussion about development charges and those, municipalities not being allowed to charge those anymore with new development. Is that a threat to new recreational facilities or cultural facilities?
It's a threat. You better believe that, Steve. I believe I forgot the figure, but it has cost the region hundreds of millions of dollars. We're still trying to assess the cost to municipalities. And to top that off, if a certain amount of homes are not started or not built, we get peanut, there is a fund, we don't get access to that fund. The problem with that flawed policy is we could issue all the building permits we want, but if the developer decides not to build, they're not going to build. But the municipality get penalized for funding for that as well. And I can tell you for a fact that we have had maybe some 5,000-6,000 permits issued, but no shovels in the ground over a long period of time. So, but we get penalized for that, which I think is grossly unfair as well. So some of the things that are happening, it's going to end up costing the taxpayers with the downloading and the lack of development charges that we used to be able to rely upon. It's not, we can't do that anymore. And I don't know if the public knows well, any development, the amount of parkland that they have to allow has been cut in half by this government. So there'll be less green space and more bricks and mortars around. And I don't think that's good. I believe in development. I believe in progress. But I believe there has to be a balance. And I've always advocate for a balanced approach to things.
And if I recall correctly, you're an advocate of growth pays for growth. So in terms of the infrastructure for new development, that development should be paying for it. And then
for growth rather than going to the taxpayers, rather than the taxpayers paying for it. So some of the tax increases are attributable to the lack of money we now collect from development charges.
At the local level, what are some things that Exit 425 can look forward to? And
you can look forward to, I'll tell you, last year we had rinks, for instance. I believe in outdoors activity. I believe in a vibrant, healthy folks taking part as families. We set a skating rink, for instance, an outdoor rink, for instance, at the Curtis Complex. I believe they got one day of use out of that because of the weather. The weather didn't cooperate. There wasn't enough. It was always raining. There wasn't enough, you know. It wasn't right. Cold enough most of the days. So what we did, we are now going to, I'll say, next year, knock on wood, there'll be a refrigerated outdoor rink. We haven't decided on the exact location yet. I want it to be at the Curtis Complex. It may be ended up at the South Curtis Arena, but there will be an outdoor rink, refrigerated, for the community to skate all winter, irrespective of whether it's raining or whether it snows or whether the weather is above zero. That will be there for the community. And it's going to be covered. And in the summer, it converts to a pickleball court. So that's something that I am looking forward to and something I believe the community will embrace. We're also having the South Curtis Complex. Shovels should be in the ground shortly and that. It's not exactly what it was originally should have been. But as you know, the cost of materials have quadrupled. So the cost of what we intended has tripled. So we have a downsized version of it. But there's room for expansion as if those developed charges starts to flow, and we are going to get that done down the road. And as you know, we have a master planner, recreation master plan in the works now. And so we'll hear what the community wants. And we will try to accommodate those needs.
And I work to promote that input that the town is looking for recreation and cultural activities on the Exit 425 Facebook page and various social media. And people can still find that on the municipality website and on the Exit 425 Facebook page to find the QR code that they can use to access that survey, which you know, if we don't take the opportunities to give feedback to the town, then how will the town know what we want, right?
Yes. Good, Steve. Thanks for that plug. I want people to, you know, let us know what they want. We also have the zoo lands that's going to be developed into a park. So folks should tell us what they would like to see in that property. So we welcome that. It's yours. It's for the community. It's yours. It's not mine. For you, it's yours. So you tell us what you would like to see, and we will try to make sure that that happens. You know, we are a growing community. As you know, we have maybe not enough people playing hockey now, or the population that's coming now might not be hockey-oriented. So they may want cricket. They may want soccer. They may want basketball. We have to have something for everyone that, you know, make it a vibrant community, that accommodating community that recognizes that diversity and make sure we cater to the diversity of our community, because our diversity is one of our strengths in this community. So let's hear from the public what they would like us, how they would like to see their tax dollars spent, to be quite honest.
One day I hope to understand cricket.
Yeah, well, there's some of it around. There is a cricket pitch now in Curtis. It's not a full-size one, so that might not be the best example to understand it from. But we're trying to get a regulation size one in Bowmanville, hopefully in the coming year, so you can come out and understand. But if you go around to other communities, there are lots of cricket being played in Oshawa and Whitby.
Yeah, there's
and
all
Ajax
kinds of cricket.
And all over. That's right. That's right. You know what? It's something different. And some people don't like changes, but we should embrace that.
Absolutely.
I believe.
Any concerns that you think will need to be addressed, particularly around exit 425 in Curtis over the next year?
You know what? Homelessness, maybe we have to address. It's coming here. There is little snippets of it in arena and around Bowmanville, and even in the Curtis area, you might have heard. So we have to prepare for that, unfortunately. Even in our libraries now, we have understand that homeless folks are showing up, and they have to have specialized training to deal with that. So that's the biggest things that's facing us right now is dealing with homelessness.
And I had a conversation, the very first episode of this season was with Mark Carlos of Redemption House Recovery, and then episode 3 was with Feed the Need in Durham, and excellent conversations about poverty and homelessness in this area, and just how it's it shows differently than other areas right now, but no doubt that very obvious and more visual kind of poverty will be showing very soon.
Yes, yes, we are not immune to it. It's everywhere. It's in Peterborough. It's pretty bad there. It's in go downtown Oshawa, Whitby, Ajax. Yeah, you know, it's almost epidemic. Proportion.
Compared to homelessness, this concern that has been shared with me seems kind of minor, but, you know, important in a community, and that is the Santa Claus Parade. And once again, Curtis didn't have one. Do you have any insight? Any
yeah,
insight
you know
on
what?
One?
I will, without, so I looked up the other day, right? And the Durham region has 8 municipalities, as you know. There are 13 Santa Claus parades. 5 of them are in Clarendon. Curtis, unfortunately, didn't have one this year. If the community wants one, we're going to work on it, make sure they have one. But what we did work on, especially Councillor El Haji and myself, was, I don't know if you know, last Saturday, we had a tree lighting and a Christmas market. And I'll tell you, Steve, there were over 800 people at that
That's
event.
Exciting.
It was a wonderful, exciting event. So there's a choice here. Do you want to have a market and have something different where you attract folks? Because people from all over want to come to a market. They mightn't come to a parade because they have seen one in Arena. They have seen one in Newcastle. They have seen one in Bowmanville. The farmers have one. You know, so it's up to maybe we should poll the community and say, would you rather something we expand on what we did last week? And it's a family event that families come out to, and there's a market, there's a big tree lighting ceremony, there's caroling. You know, so it's a choice that the community. So if the community decide they want a parade as well, they will have that. But the tree lighting, I have had commitment from the sponsors that they will always sponsor the tree lighting ceremony. So it's something that we can expand on and something for us to think about. But I can tell you last week, I don't know, you missed a great event. The lots were filled. We had parking, folks had to start parking on the school. Because the lot at the Curtis Record was completely filled. And everyone had a good time. So that's what we want. And I want to take this to give a shout out to the local businesses that helped to sponsor that, provide the hot chocolate. And, you know, the Santa Claus Parade Committee, they pitched in and they helped organize this as well. So I want to thank everybody, all the volunteers and the municipal staff that work to make this such a wonderful event for our community.
That's fantastic. We talked briefly about homelessness and poverty. What do you see as solutions for helping those who are dealing with poverty?
You know, it's complex. If I had the answer, I am sure others would. I don't know if there's a quick fix to this. But some of the people that go to food bank, they have jobs, but they're not making enough to survive. Rents are high, mortgages are high, inflation, cost of living. So if we can build more houses, not on the pretext of making a few people rich, but really tackle building houses the way we should, affordable. And that's something I have issue with, the term affordable. What does that really mean? Okay, you build $1 million house and you take $200,000 off. It's $800,000. Is that affordable? No, I don't think so. So if we really want to do it, we have to make a meaningful effort to get housing prices down, to get inflation down, to pay folks decent wages. And a lot of it deals with tackle the mental health issue, tackle the drug, the fentanyl and the drug problem, the overdosage and the dependency on drugs. So it's a whole complex. There's no simple answer to it, no quick fix, but it's something that we all, if we are committed to it, I am sure we are living a wealthy enough province and country, we should be able to tackle this. And it's not a one-person effort. It's not a one-level of government effort. It should be something that all levels of government and us as a community, the church community, all the agencies work together to make this problem or to try and, you're not going to eradicate it, but to make it more manageable, at least.
Yeah, to take away the, to reduce the levels of it so that agencies can
That's
deal
right.
with crises
That's
instead
right.
of it.
Every can day. Deal can deal with it. Yeah, you know, but it's shameful. It's sad actually. It's very sad.
And again, a little bit more mundane than poverty and homelessness, but still an important thing. What progress has been made regarding the municipal waterfront park? And are you concerned that the area next to Darlington could become like Grimsby on the Lake type of development?
You know what? I am trying to make sure that that doesn't happen. As I said to you, what I want our park to emulate is the waterfront parks I see in. I always go up back to Aurelia. What they have up there for a waterfront, it's a park with open space, folks can gather. It's not, so I don't want to see 60-story towers surrounding it that you can't see it. And so that's part of the problem. So we are working on that. It's a little longer than I would anticipate or I want. I like to get things done like yesterday, but to make sure we get it done right, and to have an agreement. It's not, we don't own the land. So we have to work with the owner of the property to make sure he wants to build a certain amount and he's going to give us a certain acreage. But he wants in exchange for the ability to build or to do. So we have to make sure we get that right. So that's a part of the delay, but it's going to get done. And when we speak of waterfront, we have the Curtis waterfront. We also have the Bowmanville. That one we have more control over because we own a lot of the property on the Bowmanville waterfront. So we're going to try and develop that too. And that's all going to come out in the master plan that we're working on now, how best to do it and how to fund it. That's one of the areas we have staff now. We have a workable council. So we're able to hire staff that are working in ways and looking at areas we can get funds to fund it and have a nice waterfront. I know you love your waterfront, and I gather you're an environmentalist, you want to see all the environmental protections and safeguards are there. And, you know, there's a provincial park next door. So you want to just have a continuity flow. Yeah. Yeah, so I understand where you're coming from. And I am of the same view as well.
Do you share...
But we're getting it done.
Do you share the mayor's reduced concern that MZOs affecting the autonomous planning of Ontario's municipalities is what we're looking at now instead of the environment that we had in the last, well, the first few months, first year or so of this particular government mandate? Or do MZOs still scare you?
MZOs? I don't think they should be handing out willy-nilly. I think maybe I'll give you a worthwhile use of an MZO. The records gave us land for long-term care home. Well, long-term care home, and it's used, an MZO is used for that. That's fine. Or for hospital. I don't think it should be used, given out to the developers willy-nilly to build. We have enough land within the urban boundary for the next maybe 40, 50 years to build without any of that. So I don't see the need for it. And I don't see the need to circumvent the planning process. So why have a municipality if you're just going to run roughshod over it and just give to any developer that comes, say, okay, I wanna develop this bit of protected land, remove all the protections, because that's what an MZO does. So I don't agree with it used the way it has been used. I think it's reckless. And I think some people may even say it's a corrupt process. It might very well be.
And certainly people are looking into that right now, aren't they? So
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And you know what? It shouldn't be used. Just give them out to develop. Yeah, if there's a viable reason, as I said, like a nursing home, like a hospital, purposes like right. that, I can live.
Hopefully that won't be an issue down next to Darlington Provincial Park then.
Yeah, I hope not. I hope they don't do that. I was fearful of that at one stage, but I think with the publicity now, I don't know. But you never know.
They could surprise you.
Yeah, they could. They could.
Another question about just dealing with the insight of your job as a local and regional councillor. Of the issues that people reach out to you about, what is the most common type of concern?
Traffic. Speeding. I must say I get that every day. Safety. So what we have done is we have reduced speed limits for now in school zones. I wanted we are one of the few municipalities that still have 50 kilometers per hour in our residential streets. So I tried to get that to 40. That didn't pass, but I did get 30 kilometers in school zone. We did get that passed, and we are going to have more safety features, more, you know, and maybe more photo radars. People may say it's a cash grab, but it's not. If you follow the rules, there's no cash grab. There's nothing to be gained. We don't make a penny if you follow the rules.
There you go.
So true. Anything that enhance public safety, I am supporting that. So that's the number one issue that we get. I get a call, and it's always speeding, always safety.
That's interesting, and I appreciate you sharing that. Granville Anderson, Regional Councillor for Wards 1 and 2 in Clarington, Exit 425, thank you for joining me on this episode of Exit 425.
Thank you, Steve. And anytime, I look forward to, as I said, you are one of the ways we can get the message out there, since we don't have a local paper anymore, which is unfortunate.
And, you know, it's a mission. And the whole point is to make our political representatives more personable to people so that they know who they are. And hopefully we'll engage more easily over things like traffic and other issues. And as a result, be more thoughtful about electing people and making sure that they get out to vote to support the people that they need.
Can I say one other thing? I will take this opportunity to wish everyone a very happy and safe holidays and spend quality time with family.
Thank you very much. And on behalf of everyone, I'll return that tremendous wish to you as well. How can people reach you,
thank you,
when they want to reach out to you?
They can easily reach me. I told folks that someone will blame me. I respond within, even in the middle of the night, to folks if they send me an email or if they make a telephone call. I don't go searching Facebook for our social media. So I said, anyone want to reach me? ganderson@clarington.net. Any time of the day, any time of the night, I will respond. Or they can call me at 289-928-2522, and I'll give them an alternative. My personal number, which is 905-419-2517. And I am always going to return your call, and I'm always going to respond to your email within, folks usually say 24 hours. I say within 12 hours, you'll get a response from me.
Excellent. And I'll include those in the profile for the podcast and actually right on the video for the YouTube presentation. So once again, thank you very much. And thank you for
joining
me in this episode. And for those who are listening to or watching this episode of Exit 425, please like and subscribe on whatever platform you use. Our mission is to provide substantial information and education that goes where you want, because it's where we live. Exit 425 is a production of Studio 38 Audio, copyright 2023. My name is Steve Ray. If you have questions or would like more information about Exit 425, join our Exit 425 Facebook group, like the Facebook page, check out Instagram, Medium, X, and TikTok, or email me at exit425401@gmail.com.